Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Chris Watkins has pulled some luck metrics or some metrics that will help us figure out if it's luck or not.
Yes.
What do you got for us?
So I decided to look at just kind of the most baseline shooting number I could that is just even for everybody, and that is open and wide open threes, which is defined as open is 4 to 6 feet of space between the closest defender, and wide open would be 6+ feet from the next closest defender. In terms of just the open looks, which is, again, 4 to 6 feet, the Kings average about 11.9 open three-point attempts to their opponents per game, which is about 10th least in the NBA, which is a good number, obviously. You want to give as few open looks as possible. The Kings are third highest in terms of three-point percentage on those open looks. So that's a bit unlucky that teams just, again, as a baseline, they're the same amount of open against every team. Mm-hmm. Teams are just hitting them at 37.9% of the time. Hmm. And then when you go to wide open looks, that's where the Kings' luck really shows, or lack thereof. The Kings allow 17.9 three-point attempts wide open per game, which is, again, around 10 or 12th in the NBA. But percentage-wise, highest by a full percentage point. Kings allow opponents shoot 42.8% on wide open threes. The next closest is Brooklyn at 41.7. And the lowest on wide open attempts, I guess you could say the luckiest team in the NBA, is the New Orleans Pelicans. They actually allow 20.8 wide open three-point attempts, which is definitely one of the higher marks in the NBA. It is fourth most attempts in the NBA. They have the lowest percentage at 35%.
Wow.
So just as a baseline there, the Kings have been actually incredibly unlucky just when it comes to guys being wide open and hitting shots. However, that does tie into what you were saying initially of, well, why are they hitting those open shots?
Right.
It might be because you're allowing them to get into a rhythm beforehand.
Right. And the Pelicans have a lot of length, and you know, they can kind of
mental too.
Throw
yeah,
you
that can
off,
get in your head.
You know, so maybe that's part of it. But I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of Coach Mike Brown saying, we're going to try to be better, and what you could be better at. If it's just, hey, for some reason, we're getting unlucky, so we just have to find a way
natural
to give
regression,
up less.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Too. It's just you're banking on there's no way we're going to continue to give up 42, pretty much 43% from three.
Right. That's the timing on this thing to figure out if they can move forward. So good stuff there from Chris. As we take a step back from everything for a second.
Yes.
I want to open up the phone lines on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. And I was thinking, Chris, and obviously you have been a Kings fan for a very, 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 very long time.
Some would say too long.
And even though I'm still getting ingratiated into all of this, you know, I haven't been watching from too far, just about an hour and a half away in the Bay Area. And when you look at the Kings, the one thing I was thinking about as, yeah, because of the Western Conference and how ridiculous it is, the Kings are fighting for a play-in spot. And that's real. That just is what it is. But if you were, again, looking at that all-star photo, right, that all-star video that they posted in the West, right, if you were to literally look at that video or look at that photo and be told that the Kings were going to be competitive in this situation.
Sure.
Right? 5 years ago, somebody shows you that video and you say, hey, this is the all-star team.
Right.
And you don't see a picture of a King, mind you.
Yes.
And someone says, hey, in 5 years.
Well, we probably wonder why Tyrese Halliburton is on the East.
That's also true. But that's
like,
a conversation for a different day. Somebody shows you that picture and says, hey, the Kings are actually the 8 seed, and they're rocking and rolling, and they are in a prime position to get into the playoffs to compete for their second year in a row to be in the playoffs. That Chris Watkins of 5 years ago, how happy is that Chris Watkins being told that?
I probably would wish that you didn't say 8 seed, but it would definitely – I hear what you're saying, and I think – I mean, it would be great. I mean, that would be what – to the point, like, this is what everybody wanted the entire time. I mean, the amount of people who – and I'm not saying this is where the Kings are at right now, but the amount of people who said, I'm not saying we have to compete for championships. I just don't want to be a joke. I don't want to be an embarrassment anymore. That's – I mean, it's great, first off, because when we were in the thick of it, it felt like – you were never going to get out of it. And so the fact that, you know, they did relatively, I guess, Monty McNair, Mike Brown got them out of that situation pretty quickly. And now, yeah, they are at the point where they're competing. The West is just a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. You mentioned that picture. I mean, if you look at the West All-Stars, it's like, Hall of Famer, 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 Carl Anthony Towns, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. And it's
they actually asked the question, is that the first time a whole West roster will be Hall of Famers?
With the exception of Carl Anthony Towns, yes. Like, it's ridiculous to see. And I can understand, you know, when I did see that picture, I to the point, again, I did kind of think, yeah, it would have, like, I'm making fun of Carl Anthony Towns, but De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis probably would have been the butt of the joke in that picture as well. And so, yeah, I mean, it's great that they're competing. And frankly, I mean, the 8 seed doesn't do them justice because they're a game and a half out of being a 5 seed. And so, it's incredibly important to look at that. Even from last year to this year, it's important to say, you know, the Kings are still competing. Everybody said, running it back, like, you guys are going to get killed this year. What are you doing? Everyone knew the West was getting better. I think people even thought the Kings would be further down than they were right now. If I would have told you last year, hey, the Kings are essentially just going to run it back, not make any trades at the trade deadline, where do you think they'll be at? I think a lot of people probably would have said in the 9-10 range. And, you know, granted, they're not far off, but I think keeping that perspective is incredibly important. And it does feel like, I think Monty said it the other day, like, we were wondering as an organization how long the fans were going to give us as a grace period. And he's learned the grace period is over. Nobody is just okay with success for the sake of success. People want to see this team actually get better and actually build towards something. And it's great to feel like they are doing that, because there would be a fear also of, if you would have asked me 5 years ago, oh yeah, the Kings are going to get good or okay, and then they're probably just going to be okay with being okay.
Right. They have definitely shown, hey, we don't want to blow this thing up, but we want to be better, and we want to take chances, calculated risks, nothing crazy.
That's another thing too, is they're not doing anything crazy. They're not making these crazy trades for the sake of being in the limelight. Like, for a while, it felt like the Kings really weren't operating like a basketball team. They were just trying to get talked about in general. And so it's good to see too, that to your point, the Kings aren't just trying to rush this thing. They aren't making a move just for the sake of making a move. They're actually being strategic in how they go about it.
Yeah. And again, the Kings have a 28-game sprint, okay? You have a 28-game sprint, and we will continue to preview all this as we get ready for the Spurs tomorrow. But this is exciting.
Yes.
You have 28 games. Yep. I mean, this is essentially a 28-game preview to the playoff to see where the Kings are going to land. This is the most exciting time. And I think as much as we've complained about, hey, it's really just been me, this has been a dead time in sports, right? With the Super Bowl ending and baseball really just starting, basketball having the All-Star break. This is what every NBA fan waits for.
Right.
Post All-Star break, let's get it going. And you hope that your team is in a position to make a run. And the Kings are in a perfect position to make a run. And we don't even know what 17 wins will get them. We just know it'll get them back to 48 wins on the season.
Right.
But we don't know what that means in the standings if other teams take care of business too. But you have 28 games to show us who you are, just like they said in Black Panther, right? R.I.P. Chadwick Boseman. Show them who you are.
Yep.
You got 28 games to do that.
Yep.
That's it.
Absolutely. And it's going to be tough. I love how you phrase that, too, because it really is going to be a pre-playoff. Like, they have to ramp up the intensity starting now. They can't play as our guy Zion lackadaisical as they played in the first half of the season. They have to address every single game that Spurs game.
Nate had it ready.
Shout out Zion. they have, like, that Spurs game, we talked about it yesterday. That, like, you have to come out in that game and try and make a statement. That game needs to be won early. We're not at the time now where it's the Kings got the win, that's all that matters. They now need to position themselves to better help themselves in the future too. Like, blow out the Spurs so you're not going to be tired in the next game. They have to take care of business at every single stop. And then some. Again, they're going to have to beat some teams that we don't expect them to beat. They're going to have to take down Milwaukee one of these days.
They're going to have to
beat the Sixers one of these days. And so the Celtics, too. I mean, ideally, you could beat the Celtics at some point. So, you know, they have to just address not every single game, but as many games as you possibly can. You've got to be locked in. You've got to be focused. That free throw number's got to go up. And, hopefully everything else falls into place. But, we talked about it. We've been talking about it for a while. We talked about it a bit yesterday. It's just hard for me to believe that. Like, I know they're going to put that effort towards playing better, but when you watch how inconsistent this team has been all year long, it's tough for me to just blindly believe this team is 100% going to get to that 48-win mark or more. It's just, I got to see it first, and they have the talent to do it, but I've also just, as an organization, I've seen so many bad things happen. I've seen, you know, things that are supposed to be promising not end up being how it was supposed to be. So I'm cynical. I guess I'm slightly broken at this point, but I'm gonna believe it when I see it with this team.
This roster is the Band-Aid, though.
Yeah.
This roster has been the Band-Aid.
It really has. I mean, these guys have been different. This group has been different than any other team. Like, they did what no other Kings team has done in the past 16 years. So I should believe in them, but maybe this is the year that cements that belief.
And unfortunately, they happen to get good, and maybe this is some of the bad luck. The Kings finally figure it out in the midst of maybe the toughest Western Conference in the history of the NBA. Possibly. When you look at all the stars and what they have going on. But, you know, iron sharpens iron, and if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. Yep. And they're going to have an opportunity. We're going to talk about who the Kings have on their schedule coming up next, and which games do you have circled on your calendar? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
15 minutes we have as we tie a bow on the Kings' first two-thirds of the season. We also are going to tie a bow on some of the annoying / ridiculous stories that have come out during the All-Star break from the NBA. And some of our favorites have made the list, of course. We have Tyrese Haliburton on the list. We have Brandon Podziemski on the list, and we have Wingstop, who actually came up on accident. So that is coming up at 12:30 as we discuss some of the ridiculous stories that we heard over the All-Star break. As Chris and I, and if you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140, also on the text line, the Folsom Lake Honda hotline, and the Sack Chat as well. Which games are you looking forward to? Which games are probably the biggest games for the Kings as we get you ready for the sprint to the postseason and hopefully not the play-in? I'll start here, Chris, and I think this one comes as no surprise, as I've brought it up a couple times here. That Clippers game in LA, which is the second game, so you still should be pretty fresh. That Clippers game in LA on Sunday, if you're the Kings, and I know that means the Clippers will be fairly ready to go as well.
That's this Sunday.
That is this Sunday.
Wait a second.
That one is huge.
Wait a second.
That one is huge to me. Can you finally beat a team on your list that you have not been able to beat yet this season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that they've got a couple of those teams too, but the Clippers, I mean, those are the ones. Those are the guys that are in your division. And, you know, the Kings did, for what it's worth, which is apparently nothing, as we learned last year, the Clippers are in the lead in the Pacific Division. So those games do count a bit, but I definitely want to see them take down the Clippers. That's really the prototype of a team that they struggle with, teams with length and just overall size in general. I definitely want to see a version of the game we saw last year. I think it's unrealistic to try and replicate that. But if we can get those two teams, you know, at a high level going against each other, I think it's one of the better matchups that we have in the NBA. And really, really excited for that one, too. The one I'm looking at is this road back-to-back, also pretty early in the stretch here. But this Wednesday, the end of this month, Wednesday the 28th, they're wrapping up the three Denver games in the month in Denver, and then on Friday play in Minnesota. Those are two top four teams in the West. I think, you know, especially after a couple games after that Clipper game that you just talked about, that's a really good test again of and an example of there is no let up here. There is no let up. You go from Clippers on Sunday to in Denver on Wednesday to then in Minnesota on Friday. You've got to bring it. And I'm not saying they got to win those two games. I don't even know if they necessarily need to win either of them, but it's just showing you guys can compete with them. Like, right. You know, those are two teams that we did, pretender or contender yesterday. I had both of those two teams in my contenders. I think that's a really good example of what this Kings team is capable of. Again, on the road, too, both of those games. And there's a couple more down the stretch, too, that have my eye. But though that two back-to-backs right there, I think early is going to tell us, okay, how much can we expect, I think, out of the remainder of these games?
It's all about just building some – what the Kings didn't really do in the first half, they had opportunities to build a fail-safe. And they were unable to do that,
yes.
Right? And we've seen different teams do it. The more wins you can stack up early on, the more you can account for things going south later in the season, right? They didn't do that before the All-Star break. Now, post-All-Star break, and that's what they did last season. Mm-hmm. Okay, you need 17 wins, or that's the target for us. They came out, they got five quickly, right? And they didn't mess around. And now we can... Now we can compartmentalize the next stage of the 28 games. If you come out limping and, you know, I don't even want to talk about losing to the Spurs, but you come out limping and then you drop the Clippers and maybe you mess around and drop the Heat. Now you got to go to Denver and go to Minnesota. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a big problem. I don't like that you lay it out like that, but that's – and like it could be literally, yeah. I mean, that Minnesota game is next Friday. We could – be 2 weeks away from the Kings being on a five-game losing streak and saying, oh my gosh, wait, we are sitting at like the 9 or 10 seed
right now.
No, that's
a problem.
And that is obviously, for very obvious reasons, that is a problem, and it's not out of the equation. I mean, those are really, really tough opponents. That's what they got to bring it. They cannot afford to lose. You mentioned the Spurs game. I mean, just in general, I'm excited to see Wemby. We didn't get to see him at the Cal Classic.
Right.
So this will be the first time we get to lay our eyes truly on Wemby. I just think you have to win that game. You've got to set the tone early that we're just not messing around.
Well, and to be completely honest with you, you could remove that Spurs game. You could remove that Spurs game and say, okay, they win. You still got to set yourself up with the next four.
Absolutely.
You still have to go at worst 2-2.
Yep.
Even if you beat the Spurs... You got the Clippers at Clippers. You got the Heat. You got the Nuggets and the T-Wolves. You can't lose all. You can't go 1-3. You cannot afford to go 1-3.
Yeah, because at that point, I mean, four seed is already a stretch. I think they're four games behind. Mm-hmm. At that point, you're pretty much almost taking yourself out of the 5 and 6. Like, you're almost definitely in the play-in at that point, or you're going to have to really, really play well down the stretch. In order to get out of it, that's the really scary situation. And then I'm also looking here, they play the Lakers twice, too. The Lakers on the 9 seed. that's an opportunity for the Lakers to possibly jump them or the Kings to create some room there. So that's another thing, too, is there's a couple teams on here that are really, really close to the Kings. I mentioned the Lakers. They play them twice. They also have that back-to-back against the Dallas Mavericks. Those two games are huge. Dallas right now is the 7 seed, if I'm not mistaken. And so that's an opportunity for the Kings to easily leapfrog them. And you could possibly create some distance, too. I mean, at that point, that's a little bit later in the season. Those two games are going to be massive for both teams. Both teams are probably going to come out. Thankfully, both of those two games are at home. But that's almost truly like a mini playoff series right there to try and determine seeding. So that's another one that really has my attention.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about De'Aaron mentions the shoulder, him dealing with that. So there's going to be a lot of adversity that the Kings are going to have to get through. This is from the 209. Or a little bit earlier in the show, we also have the EuroLeague MVP sitting on the bench. Well, 209, he's been injured.
He's hurt. Yeah.
He's been injured. And I think he's still. He's still injured. It was 4-6, and that was what, last week?
Yeah, it was last week. Yep.
So he's not coming back
anytime soon.
And whenever he does come back, we've discussed a little bit what that means for the Kings. Would it even be a good sign if they need him? Not to take anything away from a EuroLeague MVP, but we've done it on this show. We've read the other EuroLeague MVPs, and the list is not a list where you would know a lot of the names. So even though it sounds good, you got to keep things in perspective. Yeah. And I don't know. Look, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle with Vezenkov at some point with Sasha. But I don't think at this point you can bank on it.
It's just also a little too late in the season. Like, maybe if he was more integrated into the rotation before his injury, it would make sense. But at this point, they never really fully gave him a role. So I'm looking. He got injured the practice before the OKC game on Saturday. That was February 10th. If we're doing 4 weeks, that puts us at March 10th, obviously. That's the 64th game of the season. That's at 4 weeks. And then you're talking about, okay, you have about a month to integrate him. That's probably enough time to give him like a chance or two. But if we're saying 4 to 6 weeks and going more so on the back end, then you're talking to like 10 games left in the season to try and get this guy who already has been in and out of the rotation solidified into it. It feels like at that point, if you're that deep into the season, you should probably already have a really good idea of the guys you're going to go with. I mean, last year, Alex Len getting inserted into the lineup the last 5 games felt like insanity. I was like, whoa, this is insane that he's going to him now. I don't see that happening with Sasha. So maybe if he comes back on the earlier end of that 4 to 6 weeks, there's a chance for him to get a chance. But if it's more so on that 6 week timeline, it's just going to be tough. It's just going to be tough to, at that point in the season, say, hey, he played like a good 6 or 7 games here. Like, should we trust him with playoff minutes? I don't know. I think at this point, and maybe I'm a little bit premature on it, but it just feels like to me, Sasha this season, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens next with Sasha this season and moving forward. But I think that, you know, they're already going to try to boil down this rotation by the time he comes back. By the time he comes back, they could be the 4 seed or they could be out of playoff contention. That's how important every single game is. And however they get there, assuming that they are a 5 seed or a 6 seed or still jockeying for a good position, throwing something else into the mix, unless something is glaring. And let's just say they go on a cold streak and they need 3-point shooting.
Or someone gets hurt.
Or someone gets hurt. Somebody else gets hurt.
Trey Lyles goes down for a couple games, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you have to make a decision. You're not going to want to miss these stories that we have put together, right, with everything that happened over the All-Star break. Some of them are ridiculous. And thankfully for us, the Kings are back tomorrow. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Boredom is something else. And that's what happens when there are no real games going on. You have stories about people being upset they didn't get drafted.
You're picking HB to take the free throw.
Well, that I would do that anyway because that is a correct choice, okay? It's a choice that makes sense to save humanity and or bring the Kings a championship. You also have Doc talking about how he tried to talk to Kawhi about keeping Shai Gilgeous. There's always something else. And we'll start with, we have a list of the top annoying stories that came out during the All-Star break. We will start with Jason Tatum, who we have. And Jason Tatum, this one is actually, and we're not doing it in order of the most egregious, because this one actually isn't that annoying, but I wanted to throw it on the list. Here is Jason Tatum talking to Taylor Rooks about where he feels he falls as far as the best player in the league. Okay, we're having some issues, but basically Jason Tatum, yeah, he says he's the best player in the league.
Yep.
And, you know, people always have a conversation and say, hey, is that ridiculous? Yeah. Is that not ridiculous? And I think for Tatum, it's not even close to ridiculous because I think he's a top 10 player. We're going to try it again, and this is with Malika Andrews, actually, as Jason Tatum talks about how he feels he's the best player in the league.
Who do you think is the best player in the NBA right now?
Myself.
Is that, have you always had that kind of confidence? Because I asked you that question a year ago and you said it was Giannis. So what's given you that confidence?
I got a lot of respect for a lot of guys in the league. Yeah. Giannis for sure. Jokic, obviously just won MVP, guys that won MVPs. And the list goes on. The league is in a great place. I truly do believe every time I step on the floor, I'm the best player.
Is that a mentality that you've worked to hone? Because I think back to the 2022 finals, that wonderful story you worked on with Ramona Shelburne about how difficult it was mm-hmm. in the days afterwards, wanting to just be in your room, be sort of shut away, and being pretty disappointed in yourself. You put all of that on yourself. Did you have to work to sort of forgive yourself in order to move forward?
I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. Mm. And maybe I needed to go through that for something. I haven't figured that out yet, but it happened and I've grown from it. I've learned from it.
I don't have a problem with it, as I had kind of mentioned, because I do think he's a top 10 player yeah. in the league.
Oh, yeah.
I do think he got a bit bullied into saying it, though. Because a couple years ago during the finals, remember when he said, who said I was elite or I never said I was elite, which I thought was a wild, wild statement coming from your franchise guy. And I just don't know that I believe he actually feels like that. Jason Tatum has everything going for him as far as possible marketability and he's young and everything, right? He's got his son Deuce, cute son. He's got the whole nine yards, but there is something that just doesn't make me believe that Jason Tatum, as much as he loves Kobe, I think he wants to have that Mamba mentality, but I just don't believe it.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that Malika kind of called him out there and said, well, last year you said Giannis, so what changed
what
in the past calendar year yeah. that's making you change? I mean, it's interesting. I think from, like, that's what he gave was the very, like, media-trained answer. It's me. Every time I step on the floor, I got to think right. I'm the best player out there, all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I think if you watch Jason Tatum play sometimes, you're going to believe him because he, especially this year, has been taking some pretty insane shots. And, you know, I think that it's okay for him to have that mentality. I mean, it's a lot better than, you know, guys like Giannis saying, I just don't watch the game or I don't care at all.
Right.
I believe him for the most part. I actually do think that a lot of guys go out there and say, I'm the best player. And I think at least Jason Tatum has some sort of claim to it. Like, it's not that insane. Now, if Jaylen Brown were saying it, maybe that would be a different conversation.
Yeah. This is probably the least egregious thing that we are going to hear as we are about to talk about Doc Rivers. But yeah, I think this is exactly how you have to feel. This is basically athlete speak to me. It's much ado about nothing. And some people might feel like I feel that Jason Tatum is missing something, but he can't feel like that, right? So hopefully he does believe that he is telling the truth. Okay, here we have Doc Rivers. No sound on this, but this is an article about...
I can do it for you if you want.
Sure. Go ahead if you want. So this is Doc Rivers and basically the situation where Doc was with the Clippers, or Doc was right in the conversation, and they decided, the Clippers did, to move Shai Gilgeous to get Paul George. Right. So this is Doc Rivers talking to Kawhi, saying, and quote, "I even brought it up to Kawhi. Are you sure?" Rivers recalled, "I think Shai's going to be an amazing player. It may take a year or two, but I think you're understanding how you're underestimating how good Shai's going to be."
So now Doc Rivers is trying to take LeBron's crown as the Captain Hindsight.
Yes.
That's not fair. LeBron mastered it. Now Doc is just trying to ride his coattails. What is up with Doc right now on this tour of, yeah, I was right. Actually, again, like he said about James Harden, the Clippers actually consulted me and I told them how great of a fit it was going to be. And I think it's interesting. I mean, I'm not going to say Doc is lying, but it's just very convenient that it seems like every single story that comes out is Doc being the one who said, "No, I actually told these people this." So
right.
I'm taking it with a grain of salt. I'm not saying maybe he didn't have a conversation with Kawhi saying, "Hey, are you sure Shai's a pretty good young talent?" But he's trying to make it sound like, "I knew Gilgeous Alexander was going to be an MVP candidate. I knew he was going to be the best player on a team of a 2 seed one day." And that's just not true, because there's just no way that's true.
Doc knew Wilt was going to go for 102
right.
that night.
That
he
night.
Did.
That's what he's saying.
I mean, LeBron called Kobe.
Mm-hmm. His 81.
Doc
right.
called Wilt. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, LeBron.
There you go. And here is, before we get to a break, this is especially for one Chris Watkins. Here is Tyrese Haliburton talking about a team that passed him and didn't draft him.
The teams that passed on you, was there one that felt the most personal?
I thought with the Pistons, I knew they needed a point guard. And so in that moment, I already felt like I was the best point guard in the draft, but LaMelo was kind of, touted as the number one guy. So he got drafted, and now I'm like, okay, it's got to be me. And especially because on ESPN, when you watch it, like it has like the top players available.
Yeah.
And 1, 2, and 3 were Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball. So after that, I'm the number one best available according to ESPN. So the Pistons, I'm like, you need a point guard. It's got to be me. You know what I mean? And then I remember looking at my agent over, he was behind the camera. He was like, and I was like, what is this? Like, they're not picking me? And then it was, flashed out, Killian Hayes, whatever. And I'm like, what? But it, still, in the moment, I was just angry. Like, I was like, what do you mean they're not, like, they need a point guard and they're not picking me?
Yeah.
So that one definitely felt the most personal, no question.
So basically, and Chris, you would know, I know you know this pretty well, as you like to talk about players that act a certain way, but had their agents say, hey, don't pick me. So I have some questions for you, because first of all, he's saying,
first of all, that was Tyrese's soft voice.
That was his soft voice. First of all,
he also
Killian
had glasses on.
He did.
He looked
did.
Really smart.
He did. First of all, Killian Hayes caught a crazy stray there, as Killian's just having a really rough season here. Did he get picked up yet? I'm just going to keep asking.
No, he did not.
I'm going to keep asking. So my thing is, apparently, people are saying that Tyrese told teams not to draft him, right?
Yeah.
So then he was upset with the Pistons specifically, not for teams, for example, wasn't upset with whoever drafted a player that any time a point guard got drafted specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's brought up the Warriors a couple times as well. This is my confusion, Chris.
Yep.
If his whole thing was, do not draft me if you have a point guard, then why did the Kings draft? How did he get drafted by the Kings?
Yeah, I think it just kind of got to a point where it was, this guy can't fall any further. I mean, because there was, he was a draft darling for sure. There was tons of people in that pre-draft process who loved Tyrese Halliburton. It was just a, I mean, Tyrese kind of laid it out there. LaMelo was the number one point guard, and he was always going to be the number one point guard. And Killian Hayes had tons of smoke behind him, too. Mm-hmm. I think our guy, Kevin O'Connor, had Killian Hayes famously as his number one prospect in that draft that had Anthony Edwards in it and LaMelo Ball. Mm-hmm. So it's not crazy at the time that it would happen. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Kings honestly just said we're the – I mean, especially then, they were still the non-playoff Kings – they were like, we cannot let a talent like this slip anymore. And I think for the most part, it was just a Tyrese. I don't know if specifically Sacramento reached out to his agent and said, yeah, are you okay with this? But I think for the most part, it was the Kings saying, I don't care. I'm not letting this guy fall any further.
Right, right. And just how they played it, either you keep him and see how he develops or you flip him the way that he did. That is, I think, why the Kings said, hey, man, you probably don't want to drop any lower anyway.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think it was, I want to get picked. It's just like anything else, right? Tyrese Halliburton. I have a dream scenario, and then I have, all right, I'm good with this. And I think the Kings were probably the I'm good with this as he continues to drop.
Right.
But, you know, he did not want to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's why it's more about the Kings moving on from him is more about keeping De'Aaron instead of him in his mind and whatever he wants to contort and use in his mind versus just drafting him because he didn't want what it sounds like. He wanted to be a point guard.
And it sounds like
the point guard.
What might have happened too is as simple as he was telling teams, yeah, I don't want to go to Detroit. I don't want to go here. But from what I understand, everyone kind of assumed that Phoenix was going to take him at 10 and they ended up taking Jalen Smith. Could have been a situation where he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said I didn't want to go to the Pistons. I didn't say I wanted to fall, you know, to 17 or something. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was after that pick, maybe his agent started calling around and saying, hey, Tyrese will play anywhere. Like, it's okay.
Exactly.
It was over talked about or whatever. We're fine with any situation. So if you want him, please, please, please take my client.
Yeah, it's a bit different. And I'd say maybe we'll never know, but maybe we will as these things come out. It would be nice to get the other side of this stuff.
It would,
because these guys all act like victims.
Yep.
Not to say that they're not, but hey, actually Tyrese or Trace Jackson Davis, as Chris likes to bring up, said, hey, don't draft me unless it's this, that, or the third. All right, we have one more. When we get back, it is Brandon Pajemski in an article that our guy Anthony Slater cooked up, and we will break down some of the ridiculous quotes and situations that happened there. We also going to respond to a text on the text line from the 916 that wants to give Sasha more of a chance. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
From the 916, whenever we bring up Sasha Vezenkov, people like to be in the mix. Kings fans like to be in the mix. All guests and callers and texters join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. 916-339-1140. From the 916, come on, guys. Sasha was Monty's big, in all caps, acquisition on the offseason after passing on two trade deadlines and a summer of free agency. How much did they spend flying to Europe to say he was, in quotes, their guy? Now he's kicked to the curb? Give Sasha a chance, Sam in Elk Grove. I hear you, Sam, but again, he is injured right now.
Right?
So if last week was the beginning, let's assume the best. So last week was the first week.
Yep.
And it said 4-6.
Yep.
Okay. So basically, I'm looking here at the calendar. So 4 weeks from, I don't know, let's just say
it was
a week
February
ago.
10th.
Let's say today.
Okay,
so you said February
was
10th.
Was the day that he got hurt.
Okay, so he got hurt February 10th. So
re-aggravated his ankle. As
so,
we
yes.
About
so he's at 2.5 weeks right now, right? This Saturday will be 3 weeks. So March 2nd will be 4. So best case scenario, he's back March 2nd. So at that point in time, the Kings will have played. So March 2nd, the Kings will have played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They would have played 5 games. So yeah, if you boil it down like that, there is time for Sasha to become a part of this rotation. The question is which part.
He's also had time previously. I mean, it's not like he just got here the other day. Like, they've been trying to integrate him into the rotation all season long, and
that's what I think fans are arguing though.
No,
I hear him. How much the Kings have actually tried.
They've tried a good bit. I mean, I think they could have definitely tried more, especially here recently, but at the same time, like, I don't know if really what Sasha brings is what this team desperately needs. Now, I'm not saying they couldn't use a couple more shot makers, but you know, it's then going to come at the expense of Trey Lyles. And are people saying they don't want to see Trey Lyles? Are they saying they want to see Sasha and Lyles together? I don't know. It's honestly, he's just the odd man out right now. And, you know, frankly, I mean, he's kind of been unlucky that the Kings have been so healthy. Like, he probably would have gotten a lot more serious run if the Kings had Trey Lyles go down, or if Sabonis would have gone down for any amount of games. And we thankfully, the Kings haven't really had to deal with a lot of shuffling of the deck. So I would assume he'll get some chances here, but, you know, Mike Brown's seen him all year. I think that he's I don't think he's in the doghouse, but I don't think we're going to see Sasha unless something's going wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not my feelings. That's just what I've read from what Mike Brown has how Mike Brown has acted all season.
I feel like what's his free throw percentage? I feel like I've seen him miss some free throws too.
Well, he's another
but
one
he's
like
not really
Keegan
getting
where it's
to
like,
the line.
Exactly. He's just not taking enough attempts to really justify any sort of like,
over under 10 free throws for Sasha on the season.
I would probably go under if I had to. Let me see here. We're gonna go Sasha Vezenkov.
Yeah, so I hear you, Sam, in Elk Grove, and I
he
think
has
that
taken 13
free throws,
10 of 13 from the season.
10 of 13.
Yeah,
get him in there.
76%.
Manny Too Legit on the Sack Chat says Sasha needs to be back on the floor, but who are we sitting?
Yeah.
Who are we sitting?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a Trey Lyles guy. I've planted my flag on that.
Do you think Trey Lyles is the only guy that Sasha could take minutes from? Is that the issue?
I guess, yeah. I mean, especially, I think the hope was that Trey was going to play more backup five, and that would open up the backup four spot minutes. But the problem has been we've seen JaVale is getting those backup five.
It always comes
back
to JaVale.
Has to get the backup four, and you're just not going to play Sasha at the three, and you're probably not going to play Trey at the three either. So, again, he's just kind of the odd man out right now.
Yeah. And that could change.
It can change overnight.
Yeah. Well, Sasha, we know how much it could change. Probably see about 4 different rotations before these 28 games are up. Going back to the Halliburton conversation, the 5-3-0. Says also Fox. Fox isn't a true point guard, so maybe Tyrese was okay with that.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I hear what you're saying as like not
pass
like
first.
A playmaker. Yeah. Like he's not your Ricky. He's not. He doesn't play like Tyrese Halliburton. But well, and that was also. I mean, to the textures that was the thought process is that they could essentially split time at point guard and one of them was going to have to play off ball more. Interestingly enough, it was more so De'Aaron that was on the ball more. So, it's always going to be the what if. People are always going to say, what if the Kings kept Halliburton or all that stuff? It's not going to go away. But, I think that was probably their thought process is De'Aaron isn't your traditional point guard and could play a bit of the two.
Yes, and you also have from a different 5-3-0, and here we go. I can't wait for the games to start again from the other 5-0, from another 5-0. The one thing I took away from All-Star Game was Tyrese Halliburton was our guy, and trading him was worse than not drafting Luka.
Okay. That's insane. First off, no, it was not worse than not drafting Luka. Luka could have brought a lot of money and wins and notoriety to this team, 100%. Not saying Tyrese wouldn't have, but Luka's just on a bit of a different level. And then what was the first part again? The first part threw me off a bit, too.
Well, the one thing they took Tyrese away from All-Star from the weekend, was trading Tyrese was worse than not drafting Luka.
Gotcha.
But the only reason I would say I could see where they're coming from is
because All-Star game numbers.
You saw what you had. Luka was a bit of a risk in a way. You had Tyrese in the building. That's different. That's different.
I personally don't believe there was any risk involved with taking Luka.
Chris, we've seen guys like this.
No, you haven't. You literally have not seen 17-year-olds run EuroLeague and just dominate the way that he did. We don't need to go back on all of that, but I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Well, I hear what you're saying, though. I hear, like, you had him in the building, and that's, like, that is definitely, that definitely factors into it for sure, but I just don't believe that is a bigger fault than trading Luka, because that's discounting Sabonis too. It's like you didn't just move on from Tyrese Halliburton, you got Domantas Sabonis back too.
That's also true.
You got Marvin Bagley instead of Luka. Like, there's no comparison.
Well, what I would say though, and we will move on from this, but the one thing I will say is that you had somebody in the building as far as Tyrese, right? So you did hit on Tyrese. You're not the only team that missed on Luka. I think that's how some fans would look at it. I'm looking here at the draft. You have Ayton go first, Bagley go second, and Doncic third. So, yeah, I mean,
it's really just us in Phoenix.
Well, yeah. Well, and then you had the trade, though.
Yeah. No, the Hawks. I mean, yeah, Atlanta definitely gets their blame in it, too. But, again, Atlanta at least got Trae Young out of the situation. The Kings got Marvin Bagley out of the situation.
He's worse than Ayton. He's worse than Trae Young. That's the problem.
Yes.
That is the argument as far as you had Tyrese in the building. But to Chris's point, you didn't lose Tyrese for nothing. What did you get back? A ho-hum triple-double.
And we would be having the same conversation if we traded De'Aaron too. People would say, wow, look at this guy over in, who knows if it would have been Indiana, but let's just say Indiana. Look at De'Aaron Fox averaging 28 per game in Indiana right now. How did we move on from that score? Because frankly, people forget Tyrese Halliburton had an issue where he was not aggressive when he was here in Sacramento. He was very, very passive, and people wanted him to be more of the 20-point-per-game scorer. He even admits himself he had to move to Indiana and literally be told, we're only going to win if you go crazy, and he had to reteach himself how to be aggressive in order to kind of play in the style in which he was now. So there is a bit of chicken or the egg situation with that too.
Yeah, look, this is not a Kings thing. This is from when it's the Nets and whether, you know, that super team that tried to get created and all these teams, a lot goes into making sure that these things work. When we get back, we see you. Text line, you say Tyrese Halliburton? You say Sasha Vezenkov? You say Luka, and Chris's eyes light up. But you say the other names, and the phones light up. We see you, Doug. We see you, Roy. Coming up next, we will answer your calls and get to all the texts as the text line is on fire as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.